You're tuned into tomorrow. Right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Guys, by now, you've heard the great news. If you've wanted to try Viagra or Cialis, but were worried about the price, Blue Pills Direct can finally give you the results you've been looking for. Why pay almost $15 per pill when you can get the same results you need for only $2 per pill? That's right. Call today and receive 50 blue pills or 50 yellow pills for only $99. That's only $2 per pill and saves you almost $500 from your local pharmacy. Why wait? Call 888-914-4247 today and finally have those breathtaking, toe-curling moments again and again. Call 888-914-4247 right now, and we'll rush your order discreetly packaged to your door. Just call 888-914-4247. That's 888-914-4247. Call 888-914-4247.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
Welcome into Tomorrow. Just as the announcer dude finished saying, I am Dave Graveline. Thanks for joining us on this weekend of Friday, April 10th, 2020. We always use the Friday dates going into every weekend. Many of our affiliate stations carry the program on Saturdays, some on Sundays, several on both days. So it's always good if you're looking for our show notes or you want to go back and hear your call again, that sort of thing. Look for the Friday dates for the show, in this case, April 10th, our 25th year on the air. And you are?
Chris Graveline, and happy Easter this weekend to those who celebrate.
Yes, that's true. Very happy. Well, maybe not a very happy Easter in most cases, let's face it, around the world.
We're still here, so it's a happy Easter.
That part is true, and hopefully joyous in that sense for you as you celebrate Easter. And in your own quiet ways this time, hopefully not in groups of 10 or more. Keep your distance.
Well, luckily, New Zealand and Canada have both determined that the Easter Bunny was an essential employee, so he can still be around to hide Easter eggs.
Good. So for all the kids listening, don't worry. If it's Saturday you're listening, the Easter Bunny is still planning to visit tomorrow or overnight when you're sleeping, like good little boys and girls. Yeah. So Into Tomorrow is on the air for this weekend. Erasmo working with the show from South Beach, Florida, and of course handling the edits and all that fun stuff. And Horatio working with the show from New York City. And last report a couple of days ago, thankfully he's doing fine. He's been quarantined at home and doing his thing. Everything's good from them. But he says what's really weird is he hears the rest of us talking about no toilet paper and stuff. He says, we got plenty. Well, great. I haven't gotten the FedEx package from him yet. Mm-hmm. But I know, H, you're listening. We need it.
It's okay. We'll just withhold next month's paycheck until we get some toilet paper.
Ah, there you go. All right. So now we do know if we get knowing H, he'll send a couple of squares. I sent you toilet paper. That's all you specifically asked for. We're talking about a case. All right. A pack of maybe six.
And if you're going to order toilet paper online, don't do what I did. Don't fall for scams and fake companies on Amazon because
Chris did. And I'm glad you want to tell this story because it'll warn our audience to be careful about these things.
Yeah, because, I mean, I saw this thing. Of course, you know, down here in South Florida, at least, there's no paper products in any of the stores. So I did what a lot of people do, and I turned to Amazon. And a lot of the sellers were out of stock. But I happened to find this one that claimed to have a case of 24 Scott rolls of toilet paper for $17. I'm thinking, okay, well, that sounds too good to be true, but...
Yeah, because that's like almost a regular price for that amount of toilet paper.
Right. You know, and it did say it was going to take like 3 weeks to get here, so I said, okay, well, I have enough to last me until then. So I ordered it, and then a day later, I get a notification that it shipped along with a tracking number. I'm like, wow, that was fast. So a couple days later, I still never saw an update. I tried tracking it with that number, and it still just said label created, not in system with the Postal Service. Mm-hmm. And then something told me, well, let me check this seller's ratings. So I clicked on the seller.
I figured Postal Service, that's why it's going to take 3 weeks to get here.
Right.
But you checked anyway.
Yeah, I checked anyway, and I saw a lot of the reviews to this company. Everybody's saying that, oh, this company's a scam. They keep changing their name every 15 minutes, and don't waste your money. And
But wait, you didn't read the reviews before you ordered?
No.
We always tell our audience to read the reviews, especially with Amazon stuff. They've got so many third-party sellers.
Well, desperate times call for desperate measures. I wanted to order it before they were sold out.
Oh, I see.
Luckily, Amazon's A to Z guarantee, I was able to get a refund within 24 hours from Amazon.
So you did get your money back.
I did get my money back, but just be careful, because it was a hassle that I didn't have to go through had I done the homework properly.
You were luckier than most.
Yeah.
See, we have Sean and Danny in the control room here as well, and I don't think either of them brought any. So if they need to use the studio restroom, well, I hope they've got some dollar bills or something. I don't know. Because when I was running out last time, my neighbors took all of my banana tree leaves already, so I didn't have anything else. But fortunately, I have a bidet.
Okay.
Well, but that's a good thing. We had one of our guests not too long ago was saying the best thing you can do for your parents or grandparents especially is invest in a bidet. And I've had one for many years, ever since we were doing the show from Tokyo, and every hotel we were in all had bidets. And I'm thinking, why don't we have these? It's very convenient. Mine washes, dries, and deodorizes and everything all at once.
Well, that's the business to be in right now.
That's very true. And I've got an interesting story along those lines coming up, too, in tech news and commentary. By the way, you can make knowledge your superpower for managing type 1 diabetes. Visit Dexcom.com for more information. That's Dexcom.com. Lots of companies and organizations are stepping up to help ease the COVID-19 days that we're all going through. For example, parents who have found themselves playing a bigger role in their children's education will be grateful for resources like the one now from National Geographic that just launched a homeschooling hub. So anything that can help our parents listening that are suddenly thrust into becoming teachers and not necessarily into that or struggling with the whole concept of homeschooling. They have yet another resource of many, but National Geographic certainly can get most of the kids' attention and kind of go from there. I think that's good. So kudos to them and everyone else. And a special shout out to all the teachers around the country who are still teaching and doing their best. And you had an interesting story about young Cameron, who is just 8 years old this past week in second grade, and how he was supposed, they were using Zoom, right, for the classroom.
His teacher, he has a class of like 24 kids, and I guess the start of each day, they have to log in at Zoom by a certain time, and then she takes attendance and does the lessons through Zoom. And well, apparently his stepdad had school watching duty one morning and decided he had to go out to the garage for a second. He came back in only to see Cameron with the laptop showing everybody their dogs and the house. And
walking around the house, giving the tour to his classroom.
Like, Cameron, you can't do that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. A little more of a challenge. But, again, the teachers, for the most part, are hanging in there. They're doing their job, and they're handing assignments out. And that's one good way, of course, of taking attendance, though. Microsoft Team or Zoom or Skype, or any number of ways that you can use those kinds of things. So.
Yeah, and if you thought teaching a class of 24 kids in person was hard enough, try keeping 24 kids' attention virtually in a video chat.
I thought you were going to tell me that when his stepfather came back, he was just playing games on the computer instead of doing his
next.
Teacher.
Knowing Cameron, that would have been next.
Exactly. Wow.
So sometimes it takes years of criticism for a company to do the right thing. Every once in a while, it can happen overnight. And last week saw such a night. After a series of investigative reports, blog posts, and Twitter threads examining Zoom's design practices and security features, CEO Eric Yuan said the company would pause the development of any new features and devote all of its engineering resources to fixing privacy and security issues. He also dropped an eye-popping statistic. He said in 3 months, Zoom has gone from an average of 10 million daily users to over 200 million daily users.
Wow.
Now, this is a company that I have respect for, one that owns up to their shortcomings and vows to fix them instead of pointing fingers elsewhere, which is most usually the case in this industry.
Oh, for sure. But that's pretty bizarre. Holy cow. I mean, and we expect that so many things, especially when we're talking about now working from home, schooling from home, certain jobs, you can't deliver pizza from home, for example. You've got to actually be out there, hopefully protecting yourself and doing what you got to do. And another thank you to all the grocery store workers and pharmacists. And I mean, people are doing what they've got to do to get everybody through it. And in some cases, we can see a relative, hopefully soon, end in sight. I don't know that we'll ever get back to normal, air quotes, but it's going to be a challenge nonetheless. I think most of us are always going to be carrying hand sanitizer, a little bottle in our pockets now, just for anything and everything, because you just never know. But very, very strange nonetheless. It's surprising this remedy for tackling some of the doldrums of self-isolation has taken so long to be mentioned in the media, but autonomous sensory meridian response, ASMR, is the tingle you feel in your neck or scalp that can be triggered by sounds like whispers or fingernails scratching.
No, don't do that.
Got to do our sound effects. These brain orgasms, as they're called, replicate the sensation of being touched, which seems pretty useful in a time when many people are cooped up all alone. Danny's, she's having a fit in the control room. It's like, no, he didn't just go there, did he? But whispers give you that little tinge in the scalp or behind your neck.
And there's apparently thousands of ASMR videos on YouTube.
Yeah, there are, and have been for many, many years. Yeah. But now more people are getting into them. So I'm hoping that I have supplied you guys with a brain orgasm now. Is it good for you? Not for Danny. Yeah, okay. Sean's fine with it. But if you think about it, these are the issues that people, especially if they're cooped up all alone. I mean, there's only so much Netflix and chilling you can do on your own. You know, you've got to do something. How about a drive-in? I was talking to Sean the other day about drive-ins. The very few that are around have gotten incredible activity lately because you're in your own car, you stay safe, bring your own popcorn, and stay in your car. You've got that social distancing that you're so fond of. And the ability to still go out and, to some extent, enjoy a movie and then go home.
Except for our drive-in that we have local here, because they've been part of the Broward County shutdown, too.
They
included drive-in movie theaters, which I think is kind of goofy.
Yeah, shut down the snack bar. But don't shut down the drive-in movie.
The other thing I think is goofy, we've talked about this the last few weeks too, are the movies that were in the movie theater that you can now watch at home, but you now rent for twice the price of a movie ticket.
Yeah. And more movie studios are doing that. You know, for $20, you can rent this movie. What?
Yeah, I mean, and originally it was you could buy them for $20, which, you know, was a little more reasonable if you're the kind to buy a movie. But I was trying to watch one this past weekend. I forgot which movie it was, but it was on Amazon Prime, and my option was to rent for $24.99. I said, absolutely not.
Yeah, you don't want to see it that badly.
Yeah.
You know, that's getting a little bit more bizarre. But not to be unexpected, I guess, in this time. Now, see, to me, that's price gouging. Why aren't the feds after those people, too? It's just as bad as hoarding toilet paper.
Especially because, you know, their overhead is not nearly what it is when they're doing it digitally like that. They're not having to share the profits with the movie theater, who is not taking even more money because of concessions and, you know.
Mm-hmm. See, some movie theater owner listening, or not movie theater, but movie producer listening, movie studio listening, is going to be the hero and say, we're just going to release a couple of our films. No cost. Yeah, it cost us a fortune, but we're trying to do what's right for everybody. Here you go. Enjoy our movie. We hope you come back and see another one of our movies when the theaters reopen. You think that'll happen?
No.
No.
In fact, I saw a meme on
it's
Facebook.
A good idea. But...
I saw a meme on Facebook yesterday. It was, you know, a link to a story, something about, you know, AMC worried about its future during, you know, after shutdown. And somebody's Twitter reply to it was, after all those $25 popcorns, you don't have a reserves?
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. It's a little nuts. Yeah. I promised you more details about toilets. I know it's something you're dying to know about, but in what we might call an unusual telehealth or tech health story, researchers have developed a new toilet that automatically conducts urine and stool analysis to scan for various illnesses. Now, think about the advantages to this. It's not just a bidet. It will take care of all sorts of things. Now, seriously, this device could do wonders for early disease detection. No, those of you worried about privacy, there are many, understandable. But the results from the toilet are shared with the cloud. And one of the biggest challenges that the team has had is the fact that because it's shared with the cloud, they've got to overcome what's correctly identifying a user. Because that's how you detect things and report back. You've got to identify the user. Are you ready for their solution as to how to identify the user?
I'm afraid.
Well, let's just say it's the opposite of facial recognition.
Okay.
Is that painting the picture? We could say that the toilet scans the seventh planet from the sun. Wouldn't that be Uranus?
Through the glass in the control room.
Yes. but isn't that planet Uranus?
Yeah.
Okay. So it scans to identify you. All right. And then it can diagnose and do the things that the high-tech toilet can do. But most people, I don't know why, don't want their toilet scanning for recognition.
You know, I can only imagine my reaction 20 years ago had you told me that one day my toilet's going to be looking at my butt and then talking to the cloud.
And see, we've been on the air 25 years talking about these kinds of things. I don't think we've ever covered this because it hadn't happened until very recently. But it's certainly a step up from just your average bidet.
Uh-huh.
And if anyone's ever had to do those kind of analysis, I wanted to make sure I pronounced analysis correctly, because you could mispronounce that and become even more in trouble. Analysis, to scan for any disease, then you would be thankful that if your device can do it automatically, it would be better, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Ansley in Brunswick, Georgia, who listens on 93.7 WBQO. Hello, Ansley.
I'm concerned about the 5G interfering with the bees. I know that sometimes the cell phones in the woods, they were saying that disrupted their patterns, and obviously this is our food supply, which is kind of important. And I just wanted to know if you knew if the 5G would adversely affect the bees communicating to each other and having their power way they communicate with each other interrupted. Appreciate all of y'all's information. Thank you.
Well, Ansley, they communicate with each other by using our app and tuning into tomorrow. That's what I'm told. I don't know if that's accurate. But 5G is slated to use frequencies between 450 megahertz and 6 gigahertz. That spectrum between 700 megahertz and 2.1 gigahertz is already in use. You got to keep in mind that it can get a little bit complicated, but that's already in use by LTE, the cell service that we know currently. So that chunk of the frequency in heavy use in similar applications. Now that leaves 450 megahertz to 700 megahertz. And the 2.1 gig, hang in there with me, I don't want to lose you, to 6 gigahertz. Well, again, 450 to 700 currently in use by regular TV broadcasts. It's not empty spectrum either. 2.1 to 6 gigahertz is being used by a whole bunch of other things like satellite TV and radio, communication between buildings, for example, that use microwave antennas, radar systems, and even plain old Wi-Fi and Bluetooth.
Yeah, so none of that spectrum is empty now, and we won't be using frequencies that we're not already using. So whether those frequencies can affect bees in any way is a question for Into Apiculture, your weekly trip into beekeeping.
Yeah. So, we're not doing that show yet.
Yeah, but given that bees sometimes like to build their homes next to ours, which are already using signals from TV and cell phones, Wi-Fi and more, and rather than die from the signals, they can sometimes build enormous hives inside our walls, our guess is that they're not really bothered by our electronics.
Yeah, and if they are, they relocate.
Yeah.
So don't worry about that. While we're talking about 5G and towers and antennas and transmitters, no, they are not spreading COVID-19 either. Have you all seen those posts on Facebook and Instagram and stuff?
Yeah, apparently
please,
in the UK, there were a whole bunch of 5G towers that were burned down.
Yes,
because of people.
People were burning down towers and damaging things. Not the case. I hope we've helped you out a little bit, though, at least. Don't worry, I think the bees are going to be fine with 5G. Intotomorrow.com. Hey, let's meet there.
Do you own a business? What do your customers hear when they call? Every business is unique, and Advanced Productions can help you create custom voicemail greetings or an on-hold production.
Call us today at 888-899-8511.
For over 40 years, we've been providing affordable audio and video services to businesses around the world.
Let us create a custom holiday on-hold message for your business for less than $200.
Call us today at 888-899-8511
or visit onholdaudio.net.
Hey, Dave, this is Carl from Mantee, Mississippi. Just wanting to tell you congratulations on 25 years of Into Tomorrow.
Thank you, Carl. My favorite listener rejoining message out of a commercial break.
I love Carl.
Carl's awesome from Mantee, Mississippi. It sounds like kids at the beginning and some animal, perhaps a donkey, toward the end. But they're all wishing us a happy 25th year on the air. And it warms the cockles of our very hearts. Thanks for tuning in to Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. And this portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by HughesNet, high-speed satellite internet available wherever you live or work. Text the word radio to 35,000 to get more info. Again, text the word radio to 35,000.
Did you know that when you call in and participate on the program anytime at your leisure, 24/7, you win prizes for doing just that? And you may hear a particular item or two that you'd like. Keep in mind Cameron's constant reminder.
Call in, win stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Cameron. So if you would like to win some goodies, we've got stuff from TurboTax. If you haven't done your taxes, yes, you have an extension now, but get them done. We've got codes for all of their products available, value up to $200. Just participate and say, I need one of those.
From Love Handle, we still got some custom Into Tomorrow smartphone grips.
And more goodies listed at intotomorrow.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
Into Tomorrow continues. I'm Dave Graveline. For those of you with tattoos, you might find this particularly interesting. Thomas Edison invented an electric pen way back in 1876 that was later adapted to become the first tattoo machine in 1891. So he thought, oh, I just invented an electric pen. But look, it can do more. It can permanently mar your skin. And there you go. 1891, it became the first tattoo machine.
Thank you, Mr. Edison.
Yeah, exactly. It's always just another Into Tomorrow tech tidbit for you. We have a plethora of them. I spew tech tidbits.
You spew, all right.
Hopefully, though, you find them interesting.
Yes.
Sometimes.
And very learning.
Very learning.
Yes.
Now, see, that sounds like a Davism.
Very educational. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay,
yes.
We'll go with that.
I'm obviously not very learning.
No, you're not. But all the tech news isn't pandemic-related, of course. On Into Tomorrow, we talk a lot about autonomous cars. But gigantic shipping vessels might also one day operate autonomously on the oceans. The technology is still being perfected, but two vessels are actually scheduled to conduct transatlantic tests later this year. In a nice ode to history, one of the vessels is named the Mayflower Autonomous Ship and plans to journey from Plymouth, England to Plymouth, Massachusetts, with no captain.
Oh.
If you live in Plymouth, Massachusetts, run for your lives! There's a ship coming with no captain. It could be a similar scenario to driverless vehicles, but at least it has a lot of water between here and there.
Although a lot of these ships, including cruise ships that we've done stories about, once they pull out of dock until they pull into the next dock, it's pretty much all automated anyway.
That's very true. And they gather all the details in the ship's computer as to wind speeds and so forth, and they just do it on their own. And and a captain just kind of keeps an eye.
I mean, we did a video story on one of the Royal Caribbean ships when at the time it was the largest cruise ship in the world, and mm-hmm. the captain was showing us the steering wheel, and because they don't need to use the steering wheel very often, it's about a third of the size of a steering wheel in a car.
Yes.
To move this entire ship.
And he said it's just bizarre because most of the steering they do on the outer side on port or starboard as they're docking. But otherwise, yeah, steering wheel. A little tiny thing. How can that be the steering wheel? But that was the steering wheel. It's not like you would think on a big old sailing ship. You know, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of ruined my whole Pirates of the Caribbean thing.
Mm-hmm. Peloton has announced that it will stop producing and airing live cycling and running classes until at least April 30th.
But wouldn't it now be when most people want to do them?
Yes. Well, they were doing them for a while, but then they had an employee test positive for COVID-19 late last week. The company originally planned to reopen its studios on April 7th after a deep clean of its facilities. After the state of New York ordered all non-essential businesses to close, Peloton continued broadcasting live classes with a skeleton crew of just the instructor, production assistant, and cleaning member throughout the end of the week. The company said that it had gotten approval to continue operating as an essential business. At-home users were able to stream those classes from their Peloton bike, treadmill, or through an app to use with their own equipment.
Hmm.
So no more live classes right now for Peloton. And I guess you'll have to just watch old stuff.
I was going to say, by now, they've got to have hundreds, if not thousands, of videos of people instructing other people how to ride the bike.
And this is why I don't exercise.
Yeah. Is that why?
Yes.
Oh, well, now we understand.
I was going to go buy a Peloton, but since I can't watch it live, I'm not going to do it.
Well, that'll teach him.
Yeah.
Chris would have been your least used customer.
Says the guy who has a treadmill sitting in the other room here that he hasn't been on in, 6 months?
Now, tell the people why.
Because for some reason you can't walk on a treadmill without a television.
And tell the people why.
Because you're weird?
Yeah. Because you promised to hang the television there in my den, and you haven't. And you say, use earbuds and music. I'm not that guy. Well, I want to watch something on television to distract me while I'm on the treadmill.
Well, I'm sorry.
Is there
I've been too busy doing your grocery shopping so that I can keep you alive during this pandemic.
Wow.
It's because I care. That's why I haven't had time to put the TV up.
So interesting how COVID-19 affects things you might not be thinking about regularly. For example, Amazon's Prime Day. Have you marked your calendar? Because, you know, it usually occurs in July. Well, now, reportedly, that's going to be postponed until at least August. Oh, darn. As the company continues to adjust to shifts in demand caused by the coronavirus pandemic, Amazon has seen, of course, a huge increase in orders for household staples. But an internal memo indicates it's projecting an estimated $100 million impact from a surplus of devices that it might have to sell at reduced prices. Oh, darn.
Yeah.
$100 million surplus sitting on the back shelves that people aren't buying right now, that when they finally get around to Prime Day, which is goofy to begin with, they're going to be slashing prices. And I think that press release was just to get us to talk about it.
Probably.
And it worked.
So in spite
darn
of that,
them.
So in spite of that, when you get your government stimulus check, use it at a small business. Don't buy something from something like Amazon. They're going to be fine.
That's true. They are going to be fine. We've had some folks working with the show in the past that are now working for Amazon, and they're making them work 60 hours a week, but they're raking in the money in the meantime, and hopefully staying healthy. Even though they've had, in one case where Julio's working these days, at least two of his coworkers have tested positive. So I'm saying, yikes, be careful. I mean, he's only 21, but that doesn't matter. As we know, from newborns to very old folks and all in between have been affected. So we thought early on that if you're, you know, under the age of 100, that you're not likely to have it. But it could very well affect that. You could just be a carrier and have some issues. So, oh my gosh, they could be carrying in the control room. Well, you have Lysol handy?
That's why we're separated with glass.
Yes, we got big, giant glass, and we're shaking hands through the windows. And Danny's doing some kind of carrier dance. I don't know what she's doing there. But you see, that just goes to show, so stay tuned, because no doubt they'll have other press releases coming to us that announce when they're going to have their Prime Day. So have no fear. You'll still have that opportunity, but hopefully for much less prices for the stuff that they're not getting rid of now. Hang in there.
Boeing launched its Starliner spacecraft with no humans on board in December, aiming to reach the International Space Station. The mission didn't go as planned. Due to technical problems, Starliner never made it to the ISS. This week, Boeing announced that it will take a second shot at sending an uncrewed Starliner to the station as part of NASA's Commercial Crew program.
Wouldn't it be better if they said, this time we're going to do it?
Yeah.
But instead they're saying, we're going to take a second shot at it. It may or may not work.
Well, that's how they cover themselves in case it doesn't work.
Jeez. Positive thinking, huh?
The program aims to launch astronauts from U.S. soil for the first time since the end of the space shuttle era in 2011.
USA. USA. Good.
A joint Boeing and NASA investigation turned up a host of software and communication link problems with the initial Starliner flight. Now, these issues caused the spacecraft to abort its attempt to reach the ISS. The capsule returned to Earth intact thanks to the ground crew's efforts to save it. Boeing and NASA have not yet revealed a date for this new launch.
All systems are functioning within normal parameters.
Good. We hope it stays that way.
Yeah. But you know, if you ask me, given SpaceX's developments, I think they're going to be getting manned missions up there sooner.
I know. And you would think Boeing would be the ones that were more prepared for it. Not necessarily.
But you know, and this is what happens when the government opens this up to private enterprise to say, you know, help us get back there. And now you got companies competing to be the first. And
as well it should be.
Exactly.
Because look at the success that other companies have had anyway. And especially landing rockets back again at the Cape to be reused. I mean, that just blew me away the first couple of times they did that. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said, you know, Elon Musk might be a nutcase, but he's a brilliant nutcase.
Elon, that was Chris saying that, not me, but I agree. You can be a brilliant nutcase. In fact, most are. We talk about the show we do in Berlin all the time, IFA, and how one of their first keynote speakers was Albert Einstein, who was by many considered crazy, but sure was a genius.
And he used to have one of the most cluttered desks and workspaces ever. And I used to have a picture printed that I kept on my desk just so that when people would say, you need to clean up your desk, I would say, yeah, but I'm just taking after Einstein. The brilliant minds have the messiest workspaces.
If you guys have seen my desk, same thing, same excuse. Einstein. It's the Einstein desk. Yeah. It works. Are you like me and perhaps had some pre-booked flights that you can't take now? I had three different flights. Despite being ordered to do so by the U.S. Department of Transportation, airlines are still refusing to issue refunds to many travelers whose flights were canceled due to the pandemic. This is nuts that they would even do that. U.S. airlines have asked for $50 billion in bailout funds, and yet they're refusing to grant refunds to all the taxpayers that paid the money. The taxpayers who are paying for their bailout, for example. Talk about biting the hand that feeds you. And just to be clear, this isn't just a U.S. problem. Airlines all around the world are doing the same thing lately and not reimbursing for flights. Again, during this last couple of months, I had three different flights booked to Cyprus, to UK. I was supposed to go to London and Cyprus and some other place. I forget now because it was all canceled. And fortunately, we didn't run into that problem, mainly because others paid for it. It was their problem. But still, you have to wonder, why are airlines seeking a $50 billion bailout and screwing the average person?
Yeah, well, even early on in this thing, we were literally a day or two away from purchasing flights to Barcelona before that show became the first casualty of the coronavirus.
Yeah, very true. Big Mobile World Congress we've broadcast from for many years in Barcelona. I have to say it properly.
Sorry.
Barcelona.
I'm sorry.
Okay. That's better. Barcelona. Okay. Just like over there, you have to say gracias.
Yes.
Yeah. Not gracias, but gracias.
Change the way I talk just because some king centuries ago had a lisp.
No, they just like a little tongue over there. That's the whole point. It's a Barcelona.
Family show.
Okay. Intotomorrow.com. We hope that you will meet us there. And when you visit intotomorrow.com, a little red box pops up if the internet gods are with us and allows you to subscribe to our free once-a-week tech newsletter. We hope you do.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-817-2939. 800-817-2939. 800-817-2939. 800-817-2939.
I just wanted to congratulate you on 25 years. This is Raymond in Columbia, Mississippi, and I'm calling in because Cameron said to do that. I want to wish you, Mr. Dave, Chris, and Cam a very happy Resurrection Day, which some people call Easter, and stay safe during the virus. Love your show. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Raymond in Mississippi. We appreciate that. We love you, too. And that's what it's all about. What a lovely greeting on Easter weekend. And those of you who have been celebrating Passover, celebrations to you as well. And we love hearing from our listeners that are sending us the congratulatory 25th year messages. But when you do, don't hesitate if you'd like to share with us what you liked most about tech in the last 25 years or what you disliked most about tech, because we think that makes for good radio and kind of fun. Thanks for tuning in to Tomorrow. I am Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline, and this portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by Stream Guys, streaming media and podcasting solutions for the smartest businesses on the Internet. Visit StreamGuys.com.
Jump aboard the time machine.
You got mail.
Time to head into yesterday with This Week in Tech History.
History, history, history. Chris is history.
Chris.
History.
Hey.
Oh, not meant.
This week in 1894, Thomas Edison showed off his new invention, the kinetoscope. When the first kinetoscope parlor opened in New York City, 5 machines were placed in a row, and a customer could view the films in each for a total of 25 cents. These were often referred to as peep shows, since one peeped through a personal viewer to see the film. Now, these first films were shot by Edison of Annie Oakley performing some of her celebrated feats of marksmanship. Kinetoscope parlor soon opened around the U.S. In 1941, this week, Igor Sikorsky accomplished the first successful helicopter liftoff from water near Stratford, Connecticut, when he fitted utility floats, also called pontoons, to the Vought Sikorsky VS-300. This made the VS-300 the first amphibious helicopter. In 1947 this week, Zumar arrived. No, this is not some comic book superhero or space alien. Zumar is a lens demonstrated by NBC TV in New York. The Zumar lens is a device that can feature close-up and long-distance camera shots from a stationary camera. Eventually, the lens would be scaled down for use by regular photographers and not just for television. Many of us remember these old big TV cameras with the circular dial on the front where you dial up the different lenses.
That was the Zumar. Yeah, very cool. And, of course, now we do it with just pinching and unpinching on our phone.
Right, but that's also how we've come up with the term Zoom.
Ah, very clever.
In 1956, this week, Ampex Corporation demonstrated their VRX 1000. This was the first commercially successful videotape recorder. These $50,000 VCRs were hand-built and too large to fit through a standard doorway. CBS was the first on-air user of the machine to tape delay the CBS Evening News broadcast with Douglas Edwards. In 1970, Apollo 13, the seventh manned Apollo mission and the third intended to land on the moon, was launched from Kennedy Space Center. The now infamous accident during that mission gave rise to the just as infamous line, "Houston, we had a problem." And this week in 1976, the Apple I personal computer was released. The computer went on sale for $666.66 because developer Steve Wozniak liked repeating numbers. That's our look back at This Week in Tech History, brought to you by IFA in Berlin, the global innovation show since 1924 for consumer tech and home appliances, and by IFA Next, the launchpad for innovations. Get more info at ifa-berlin.com.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Chris's fans.
Yeah.
And if all goes well, this September be our 18th year broadcasting from IFA in Berlin, our most favorite remote broadcast of the year for many reasons. And keep your fingers and eyes and everything else crossed that things are more than well enough by then. We hope you can even join us in Berlin. Meantime, let's meet at intotomorrow.com.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-689-3005. 800-689-3005. That's 800-689-3005. 800-689-3005.
I wanted to congratulate Enter Tomorrow on their 25 years, and I wanted to say that I've been working at a job for 24 years, and when I started, technology was non-existent almost, and what I really like about the technology is being able to communicate through the emails and not using so much paper anymore, storing stuff on our network. So I really like the technology that we have today compared to years ago.
Well, thank you. Barbara in Fairbanks, Alaska. Thanks for the congratulatory message, but also a special thanks for sharing with us what you like most about tech these days. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by Dexcom. Always know where your glucose is headed and how fast. Visit Dexcom.com. That's D-E-X-C-O-M.com.
Marcus in Sandusky, Ohio, listens on AM 800 CKLW just across the water from Detroit, and is calling in using the free Into Tomorrow app, which I know you have. Hey, Marcus.
I'm looking into getting a Fire Stick from Amazon, possibly the Cube, and I keep hearing about having them jailbroke. Can you explain that to me and how this works?
Sure, Marcus. Having a Fire Stick or a Fire Cube jailbroken means freeing it from the behaviors that Amazon will allow and basically setting it up in a way that will allow you to circumvent their restrictions and use software that isn't allowed by default, or perhaps use it in ways that aren't even allowed by default in that sense. Now, that means that by jailbreaking, you could install apps that you otherwise can't. Or you can have an app do something that otherwise couldn't, like maybe change a system setting, for example. That's kind of the nice and innocent way to describe it, but there's a reality. When people recommend that you jailbreak your Fire device, what they're saying is open it up to easy piracy.
Yeah, most people don't jailbreak because they really, really want to set up an unsupported bright yellow background and set the font color to purple. I mean, I would, but...
of course you would, yeah.
They do it because they want to stream copyrighted content without paying for it, which is something that Amazon, a distributor of that content, doesn't normally allow. Using a jailbroken device that way is obviously not legal, but whether you want to do it or not is up to you. Just keep in mind that there are concerns beyond the legality of what you're doing.
Yeah, not so much legal in their sense, but now you'll also be opening your device up to potential malware, since you'll be removing some of the restrictions that make malware harder to succeed on a platform like the Fire devices or your cell phone, for that matter. If that's a concern, then you probably don't want to do this. But the process is simple enough, so the legal issues and malware are the two main things you'll have to worry about, again, if you choose to do it.
Yeah, now, obviously, our legal department won't let us tell you how to do it, so if you still want to jailbreak your device, I'm not telling you to turn to your favorite search engine for the steps involved. But to be honest, I wouldn't recommend it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So we're not telling you to do that because it's something we don't recommend. Just like we don't recommend you jailbreak your phone. A lot of people do it for a lot of different reasons. But most of us, by far, would have no reason to do that.
Yeah, and courts have determined that the act of jailbreaking itself isn't illegal, but it's being able to then access the content that you access illegally is what makes it a gray issue.
There you go. For more info, let's meet at intotomorrow.com.